Today on More to Life, trash talk. Words really do hurt. We're going to help you deal with those negative, critical people in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, trash talk. Words really do hurt, despite what the popular, I don't know what it is, nursery rhyme, the sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They do hurt. We're going to share some interesting research from Carnegie Mellon University about this. But more importantly, we're going to help you deal with those negative, critical people in your life. Who are those people that popped into your head when I was describing them, those negative, critical people? What do they do or say that get under your skin, wear you down, frustrate you? Would you like to know how to handle those negative, critical people gracefully? Maybe get them to stop. Dreams exist. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you are tired of that negative, critical person in your life and you want to find better ways to handle them than you've handled them in the past, let's talk it out together.
You know, I think that you made reference to the old rhyme that we were all taught as children. And I remember even as a child thinking, when my mother would say that, you just don't want to deal with the fact that I'm in pain, do you?
Yeah,
like, even as a small child, my brain registered that. And I think we were all very much taught, just brush it off. Just brush it aside. If somebody's been critical of you, if somebody's been unkind to you, just brush it away. And now we have a society where people have been bullied to the point where we have, you know, real chaos in situations. We have a culture of unkindness on the internet. And on top of it being culturally bad for us, it really is hurting a lot of people. And I think that it's fascinating that Carnegie Mellon University actually decided to make this an objective experiment to see, is this really a problem, or is this something that, you know, psychologists say is a problem?
No, and really, this latest study that we're going to share with you in just a minute is, as I said, the latest in a long line of studies that talk about how social rejection, critical comments do affect us physically. They affect not just our emotional health, but our physical health as well. This study actually is just actually a little funny. So what Carnegie Mellon University did was they had a group of people play a game with a computer.
With, like, robots, yes.
Yes.
And what I want people to know, see, we live in the territory of Carnegie Mellon University. For those of you who live across the country or across the world and don't know, it is famous for its robotics. It's famous for its technology. These are students who think techno all the time. So the fact that they've taken out the human facial response, the personal rapport two people have by saying, this is just going to be a person and like a robot,
right.
It really does measure things much more clearly.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because so people were playing a game against a robot, and the robot was programmed to give trash talk. And it was all
that's what we need in the world. Yeah. But for the
yeah,
experiment.
Exactly. You don't have enough people picking on you. Now you need robots to
exactly.
do it, right? But the trash talk was really mild. It was things like, I have to say, you are a terrible player. I'm
although
sure I
they
use
probably
that voice.
Have a much better voice.
I'm having fun with it, but I'm sure you know. Or over the course of the game, your playing has become confused.
So very mild.
Very mild
like, no, your mama's here. This yeah. is like very mild. Yeah. Just slightly.
Your mama is so fat when she sits around the house. Yeah. She sits around the house.
None of that.
No, nothing.
Exactly. No, just very, very slight negativity.
Yeah.
And the result was.
Well, everybody who was performing against the trash talking robot did infinitely worse at the game than those who were encouraged. They had another set where the robot was actually giving encouraging messages. Those people performed better in the game. I don't think anybody's terrifically surprised by this, but I think it is funny. And it really illustrates the point that negative talk, even when we know it's coming from, you know, a robot that's been programmed to do it. In fact, one of the participants of the study said, you know, I can't get mad at it. I know it was programmed to do it, but I didn't like what it was saying to me.
Right, and it's programmed in a way that it's not even necessarily a reflection of you. Like, it just hits this part of its code and says something negative, and we still feel it because, and truly, this isn't about being a wimp or a snowflake or sensitive, or it's about the fact that we were created in the image and likeness of God, and we're constructed, made by God, to experience the fullness of truth and goodness and beauty, and to do our best to personify that. And so when we're hit with the fact that we're not there yet, it does take us up short. It does hurt. And we experience that in the core of ourselves.
Who are those negative, critical people in your life? Those people that kind of wear you down just by being around them. The people who always seem to have something negative to say, always seem to be able to undermine your confidence or pick on you in some way, run you down, wear you out. We want to talk through how to deal with that gracefully. How do you manage it without being a doormat on the one hand, or just kind of getting down and rolling around in the mud with them on the other? 877-573-7825. I did want to just build on something you just said, though, Lisa, about, you know, that we were made for love. And, you know, the theology of the body, which is St. John Paul the Great's legacy, his body of writing that shows us God's plan for life and relationships. You know, the theology of the body reminds us that each and every one of us was made for love, and that the only logical response to another human being is love. To love somebody means to build them up, to help them be more of a human being. When we are critical of others, not in a constructive way, but in a destructive way, when we tear people down, when we make negative comments, when we pick on them, when we engage in this trash talk, even, you know, this, in the silly ways that we're talking about here, it feels like an offense, because it is. We weren't made for that. We weren't made to be torn down. We were made by God to be built up, to be loved, to be supported and encouraged so that we could become everything we were created to be. And when we do, when we engage in that kind of negative, critical speech, not only is it offensive to the person who receives it, it's offensive to us, because we're violating what we were created to do, to build each other up, to support each other, and to create a community of love where that's founded on mutual support. 877-573-7825. Let's talk about those negative, critical people in your life and how you can deal with them gracefully.
Well, and to not put too fine a point on it, but I might even take it another step. I have to really think about this, but maybe it's even offensive to God, because we are created in the image and likeness of God. So, you know, that's, he's saying, well, just like we would be hurt if somebody was critical toward one of our children. It's
well, here's something interesting. Okay, so Saint Ephrem, I don't remember the quote exactly.
Oh,
I'm going to have
I
to
know
paraphrase
what you're
this.
Say.
Yeah,
I love this. Yeah.
Saint Ephrem held up a coin. He was preaching once, and he held up a coin, and he said, you know, this is, you know, on this coin is the image of the emperor, and according to the law, to insult the image of the emperor is punishable by death.
Right. I'm really glad that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. And he said, but just imagine how much more serious an offense it is to insult the image of God by insulting each other.
Insulting each other.
And again, that's a paraphrase, but I thought, wow, I mean, what a tremendously powerful reflection on the fact that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. And to insult one another, to tear each other down, to be verbally abusive to each other is to deface God's image. And, you know, we don't often think of it that way.
But
it certainly gives you, but it certainly gives you pause when you do.
Well, you know, think about it. Probably somebody is in your mind right now. Is it somebody that you had to share the Thanksgiving holiday with, who is just critical of you, just says nasty things that just brings you down and makes you wince? Perhaps it's somebody you share your everyday life with, and it's constant negativity, constant critical attitude toward you or life or the people you love, and you're just kind of done. Or perhaps it's even somebody from your past, and those messages are still rolling around in your head and popping up when you least need them to, and you're just not sure how to even deal with those old messages that seem to have taken root and pop up like weeds every once in a while. If you're tired of dealing with the effects of critical, negative, unkind people in your life, we're here to help you know how to heal from that and how to deal with those people in a grace-filled way. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, your word, your scripture, and the writings of your servant Pope St. John Paul the Great remind us that each and every person is made in your image and likeness, and that the only logical response to another person who is made in your image and likeness is love. We are commanded and encouraged to build each other up, to work for each other's good, to help each other become everything that you, as a loving father, see in your children when you look at us. Help us to always use our words to love one another, to build each other up, to encourage and strengthen each other, to support each other. And help us, Lord, to deal effectively, gracefully with those people who use their words to try to tear us down, to try to make us into less than what we are, your sons and daughters, your image and likeness. Help us to respond in ways that glorify you, that prevent us from becoming doormats on the one hand, or responding in kind on the other. But help us to respond as your sons and daughters, with dignity, with grace, and with strength, that we might be able to work with you to create the communities of love that are our destiny and our mission. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the title of the show, Trash Talk, as we talk about how words really do hurt. There's a huge body of research that talks about how critical words, verbal abuse, other negative comments don't just undermine our emotional health, but our physical health as well. Turns out this latest study we just shared with you from Carnegie Mellon University, even if a robot is trash talking you, it undermines your performance. You know, if a robot can have a negative impact on us, what about a spouse?
A mom, a dad, your kid, your best friend. It's a lot.
Let's help you deal with those negative, critical people in a more graceful way. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with our first caller today on More to Life, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hey there, caller. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling today about kind of a new friendship. It was a friend I had in high school, and then I wound up moving closer to her area, and within the past 8 months, we've started a friendship, and she's a really delightful person, like very funny, great sense of humor. We connect on faith, but we're definitely at different times in our lives. She's an empty nester, and I still have school-age children. But recently, she started texting me, and really critical, kind of coming at me one text after another about how I'm not, just a lot of criticism, trying to think of some of the things she said, like, I'm not available, I've changed.
Since high school, I certainly hope you have.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
But, since I've come down, she says, since I've moved here, I've changed. And then she just was, she's kind of a dominant personality. And, but then, you know, I was literally shaking when this was happening. I really felt it. So I had to call in when we were talking about the topic today, because I did feel it in my body. I felt like really very stressful for me. And it continued for like 2 or 3 days. And I know I should have just picked up the phone, but honestly, it just was so stressful for me. And I've been reading your book, Dr. Greg, on People Are Driving Me Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I'm just calling in today to hope that you can guide me if, like, is this a friendship I should even continue or not? Because it's right now feeling incredibly stressful.
Sure it is. And I just want to add that on top of the fact that you dealt with all this criticism and negativity coming toward you, which would shake any of us, as we saw in the Carnegie Mellon University study, you know, if it comes to us from a robot that we're not personally invested in, it shakes us. But on top of that, it most likely took you all the way back to that high school friendship and put you in a place of being young and vulnerable and insecure, as every person is in that situation. So it probably really inflamed that biological response. So she hit you with all of this over the course of 3 days of texting. Why do we all think we can do this just because we're not face-to-face with somebody? How did you end up responding to all of this?
Well, finally, on the third day, she sent another series of texts of, like, you know, I don't know how to deal with non-authentic people, and kind of said all this stuff. And I actually had my sister help me, who's just a master at this stuff. And I just responded very friendly. And I said, thanks for your candor. I wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And let's connect when I get back. And that just shut it down.
Good.
And that was helpful. But then on Thanksgiving, I, you know, sent her a happy Thanksgiving text. I didn't hear back. And so now I'm kind of just wondering, do I make the next move? Do I just let this go? I don't know.
So, so what do you think she was trying to get out of you by responding this way?
I think she wanted me, I think she gets anxious, maybe, like, has more of an anxious attachment style, and I feel like she was wanting me to affirm her, possibly, and she's had, like, her best friend that we knew in high school, they were friends for 30 years, dropped her, like, just said, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And mm-hmm. so I think she has this anxiousness, but her style is such that she comes at people. She's very dominant. And I often feel like when we're together, I'm just kind of invisible, and a lot of things are about her and affirming her. I can see she tries, maybe she's had that feedback, I can see she tries to kind of talk about me and ask me questions, but everything kind of comes back to her. So I don't know, I think she's afraid that maybe I'm distancing myself from her because I'm not as available as she is.
Okay. So listen, how would you feel about, because I'd like to give her a chance. So, you know, and sometimes, you know, addressing these things requires more of us than we're able to give. And if that's the case, then that's the case. But I want to put this out there and just sort of see how you feel about this. How would you feel about saying to her in text, you know, listen, I appreciate that you needed, you know, affirmation from me. I appreciated that you wanted me to be there for you. But I just need you to know that when you come at me like that, it actually pushes me away. And I don't think that's the response you want from me. If you need some time with me, then the way to do that would be to say, hey, I'd love to get some time to call for a talk, or, you know, I'd love to be able to go out to coffee sometime or whatever. But when you come at me like this, it makes me want to go away, which I think is probably the exact opposite of what you're looking for. What do you think? And kind of giving her a way to get what she's looking for from you, would you be okay doing something like that?
Yeah, do you think it's okay to do that in a text, or don't know if I need to pick up the phone.
No, I think it's better for you to do it in a text because it gives her a chance to really think about it. Then you can follow it up with the phone if you like. But I don't want you to be in the position of trying to convince her. You know, I just want you to, you know, just write her a thoughtful note that says, hey, listen, I mean, it could be an email, it could be a text, whatever. But hey, listen, I was really praying more about the whole thing before Thanksgiving. And I realize that you're in a kind of a vulnerable place right now. And I understand that you really needed me. But I have to be honest with you that when you come at me like that, it just pushes me away. And I think that's the exact opposite response of what you're looking for. In the future, if you need some time with me, could you just say, hey, I'd really love to get a chance to talk with you, or I'd love to go out for coffee or something. But when you just come at me and criticize me and attack me like that, that doesn't make me want to support you. It makes me want to run away, and I don't want you to want to put you in that position.
Her reaction to that is really going to help you know if she's emotionally healthy enough for you to be able to continue trying to form a friendship with her. If she's negative and critical again, then you are perfectly within your rights to say,
at that point,
this is not okay for me
to be
in.
At that point, she's not a healthy person.
Yeah, it's okay to say, this is not good for my emotional or even physical health, since you're having a physical reaction to it. And then if she agrees with it, then you can move on later on if she's putting too much pressure on you because you have other things that you have to take care of, like a family. Then you can start putting parameters. But this is the best first step.
So start there and then follow through with the other suggestions for setting boundaries that you have in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts. Hey, thanks so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out again. Right now, we got to go to break. And if you are dealing with critical people in your life, give us a call. We'll be talking to you on the other side of the break at 877-573-7825.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
As Christmas approaches, it brings an opportunity to reflect on our responsibilities and resolve to protect those we love. Giving your family the assurance of a secure future is a profound act of care. Through our partnership with mycatholicwill.com/AVE, you can allocate assets to the individuals and causes you hold dear, all at no cost from the privacy of your home. Secure your legacy and honor your faith. MyCatholicWill.com/AVE. Dealing with personal, emotional, or relationship challenges, you don't have to go it alone or sacrifice your faith to get good help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of Catholic pastoral counselors has helped thousands of Catholics, just like you, find grace-filled solutions to life's toughest challenges. At CatholicCounselors.com, we integrate the timeless wisdom of our faith with cutting-edge psychological insights to help you make change on every level. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today and let us help your faith, life, and relationships flourish. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about negative, critical people on our show titled Trash Talk. You know, the reality is, contrary to the popular nursery school rhyme, words do hurt. There's a whole body of research that shows that our words don't just affect our emotional health, but our physical health as well. How do you deal with the negative, critical people in your life? We want to help you manage them gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. You know, one of the things that I run into a lot in counseling is where people will recognize that this person they love shouldn't have spoken to them in a particular way, but then they will defend the other person by saying, but it's true that I did hurt their feelings, mm-hmm. or it's true that I didn't follow through with something that they were counting on me for, or it's true that I committed this offense or that offense. So, you know, isn't it, if not okay, at least understandable that they would go off on me the way that they did? And I want to make it clear here for all of our listeners that there's nothing you could ever do that deserves that you would be treated disrespectfully. You can commit offense against somebody, and you have a right to be called out for that. You know, in fact, it's a work of mercy admonish the sinner. To say to somebody, hey, look, you know, you're better than that. You know, that really hurt my feelings. We need to fix this. It's okay to be called out for something that you did, but even when you're being called out, you have a right to be treated with respect. And so I just wanted to take this very short segment to remind all the people out there who are on the receiving end of negative, critical, maybe even verbally abusive speech, that there's nothing you could ever do that would deserve that. Even if you really stepped in it, even if you really did something that was hurtful, then fine. You deserve to be called on that, asked to apologize, asked to work with the person to make sure it doesn't happen again. But you don't deserve to be called names. You don't deserve to be run down. You don't deserve to have all of your flaws rubbed in your face. You deserve to have somebody who loves you say, look, that really hurt my feelings, and we need to work it out. If that's not happening, let's talk it out together and find some ways to deal with those situations gracefully so that you can address the offense and hopefully move the relationship to a healthier, stronger place. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing our pilgrimage to charming Ireland and its rich Catholic heritage. The shrines are nestled in the quaint Emerald Isle. Lovely people, marvelous food, sweeping vistas. Everyone's favorite is Mass at Our Lady of Knock and its Eucharistic apparition. We hope you can join us in August, along with our Irish chaplain, Father James Conlon.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Did you know you have divine glory living within you? If you are a baptized Christian, you are host to a gentle guest, says the Catholic Catechism. This guest inspires, guides, corrects, and strengthens us to live our life in Christ. That gentle friend is the Spirit of Christ, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He is active in us, transforming us spiritually if we are willing, so that we may live as children of the light. There are two ways to live. The first way, the way of Christ, leads to life. The opposite way leads to death, an eternity without God. Choose life, then. Choose Christ, a life of challenge and joy. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popcheck. What if I told you there was a magic pill that's been shown to increase life and marital satisfaction, improve family stability, and significantly decrease the risk of depression, substance abuse, promiscuity, and behavioral problems? Well, you're in luck. Such a thing exists, only it's not a pill. It's called Rituals of Connection, or as I call it, Vitamin R. Simple habits of togetherness, such as regular family meals, prayer, recreational family days, and other activities of the sort. Rituals bind us together. They have the ability to create community and intimacy and lead to bonds that can be unbreakable. A simple dose of Vitamin R reminds couples and families why they love each other. Establish regular habits of work, play, communication, and prayer as a couple and as a family. In this way, your marriage and family can grow to become truly outstanding. For more ways to build a lifelong marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, we are talking with you today about those negative, critical people in your life on our show titled Trash Talk. Look, the fact is words really do hurt, not just emotionally, but physically as well. We are created in God's image and likeness, and to be critical in a non-constructive way, to be hurtful to another person is to deface the image of God, so says Saint Ephrem. We have a responsibility to build each other up with our words. Let's talk about how to handle those situations where the people in our lives are doing anything but. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Chanel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Hey, Chanel. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, hey, Father, I
appreciate the promotion, but I'm not a priest, just to let you know. And okay, I'm a counselor. Oh, but what can I do for you? No, it's fine. I just want to make sure you knew who you were getting advice from. But go on.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. My husband and I got married a year and a half ago, and he has two sons, and I have two kids. And you know, my kids have been launched. I hate to say his and hers, you know what I mean? Because
no,
I want them all to be our four kids. Uh-huh. Our son's a pilot, and he teaches young guys, or people, women and men, how to be jet pilots. And my daughter has a master's and licensed social worker. So,
okay.
But anyway,
so you've raised a couple of successful young adults. Good for you.
Well, they are, and they have five and six kids each. So
that's
we're
amazing.
Very blessed in that.
Wow.
My husband's dear sons, who, you know, of course I want to come in and just welcome and, you know, be all the good things that they need, you know. Mm-hmm. But what I've found myself is I just don't know where the boundary should be, because I don't really have a foundation with them. And even though I'm kind to them, before we got married, I told my husband, well, we really shouldn't have the two boys here, you know, and the one actually had moved out and was living at a church and working in a place 40 miles away. And I thought, oh, great, he's working, he's, you know, doing good. But he had some, you know, some health problems, but we didn't think anything of it because everybody has, you know, indigestion, constipation, you know, that kind of thing. And it wasn't really keeping him from having a job. And anyway, he quits his job and has since had been diagnosed with cancer. He only has a few months to live. He's 36 years old.
Oh,
but over
sad.
That time before that, it was so sad. So, you know, I keep wanting to say Father, but dear Lord,
okay,
you know, it's so sad. And he had said that he couldn't come over because he had anxiety when he came over here, because my husband had said, you need to go, and he had provided, and still is providing, an apartment for the younger one. And he lived there for a while, and then the grandparents have been providing a home free of charge for him.
But it says, so it says on the board here that you're the critical one. Is that the issue?
Yes. Long story. So then the 31-year-old, he just eats games at night, and I'm pointing fingers, but I'm like, how can I remain positive? Because I don't want to jeopardize our relationship, and I don't want to lose what we have by setting limits, because I'm not the one that should set limits.
Right.
I don't feel I should be the loving and nurturing one, but I don't like it when my husband feels like he shouldn't be buying this kid a new car when his car broke down, the younger one.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's already driving a paid
what's,
for.
What's driving your husband's behavior here? What does he feel guilty about exactly?
I don't know. I mean,
because that's what it is. He feels bad about something, and he's trying to do penance by being enabling. Now, and I mean, in terms of the 36-year-old, you say that the 36-year-old only has a few months to live, and that's terrible. I mean, and so we're not talking about setting limits with him, right?
Of course not.
No. Okay.
And the other one, he's so nice to talk to, and he'll promise the world, and he's been promised these certification tests, and he's got a credit card for my husband. I mean.
Sure. Well, look, so let's talk about the other piece of it. You're absolutely right. You know, as much as you have a better perspective, because you can be objective about it, and as much as I think you're probably right on in terms of the kinds of limits you want to set with the younger son, your instinct is correct that it's not going to go well coming from you, because you don't really have any authority here. You know, and this is, you know, you're dealing with adult children, but this is really just a general rule of thumb for step parents. You really have to defer to the authority of the other parent. And if they're not working well with their children, it's not a parenting problem, it's a marriage problem. What I mean by that is that it's something that the two of you need to get some professional help with to work out how to discuss it together more effectively and figure out how you can support the other parent in doing their job to parent effectively. But if a step parent steps in and says, I'm going to fix this situation, no matter how old the kids are, if they're 2 or if they're 26 or 31, like your stepkids are, it ends up just creating a wedge between the parents and the kids and between the husband and the wife.
Yeah, it makes the parent, the biological parent of the kids, have to decide whose side they're going to take. And that never turns out well.
You know, there's a reason that 75% of second marriages end in divorce, and a big reason is this exact issue.
We don't want that to happen to you.
So that's why the only way through it, is to really sit down and with your husband and say, look, I've made an appointment with a marriage-friendly counselor because I really need us to work this out. You know, I you're obviously struggling with something that's making you not be able to set limits with your son. I don't want to be, you know, the nag or the, you know, the negative whatever that's just kind of like, you know, pestering you or getting mad at them.
Or driving a wedge between you and your child. I just want everybody to have what they need to be as healthy as possible. And I think we would be able to work that through with somebody and also be able to give your son the very best for him.
Yeah, but so he may not like the idea of going to marriage counseling. Let's face it, who does? That's why I'm suggesting you don't ask him, that you just make the appointment. You wouldn't ask him permission to, you know, go to another doctor for another health problem. This is a serious issue, and it's just important for you to be able to say, look, I love you too much, and I love these kids too much to let this go where it's going. You know, so I made an appointment to really talk, to give us an opportunity to work through this with somebody.
The other thing that this will do for him, and it's a good reason to encourage him, is that one of his other children is looking at the end of his life. And there's no parent in the world that just goes over that very easily. So setting him up in a good counseling situation, in a good marriage counseling situation, where you can also learn how to support him through this very grave and awful loss, how he can learn to cope better, be there for his children in any way he needs to be. I think with what you're about to be going through, what you've started to go through, it would be very important just for your husband's own well-being to be hooked in with a good counselor he can trust.
So you can either get a local referral from marriagefriendlytherapists.com, or you can work with us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute through our telecounseling practice. You can learn more about that at catholiccounselors.com. The reason I'm suggesting this, by the way, instead of, for example, okay, here's how your husband can set limits, he's not going to do any of that. You know, he already knows that he should do that. He feels guilty about something. And he's trying to do penance by not setting limits with his kids.
And it's probably being exacerbated by the fact that he's about to lose one of them. So he's really seeing his own children right now as babies, because that's what he's going through the loss of. So it's compromising everything on top of whatever it is he's feeling in the first place. So that's,
and unless you can address that emotional resistance that he's got to just doing the healthy grown-up thing and setting some appropriate limits with his 31-year-old son, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's why the counseling comes in, because you don't want to be your husband's analyst. You know, that's just not your job. So being able to go to a professional who can help you guys work this out together is really your next step. You know, in terms of giving you some more background on setting godly limits, you know, the book, my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, does address how do you set respectful limits with adult children. It can give you a little bit of background on that. But again, you're not going to be able to use any of it unless he learns how to get out of his own way. So go ahead and pick up God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, and you know, kind of shore up your own information there. But you really need the professional support to be able to know how best to get through this together. Thanks for the call, Chanel. God bless you. We're adding your family to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to check out those resources or send us other questions at CatholicCounselors.com. As we go to our next break, I want to share our scripture of the day, which comes from Ephesians 4:29. No destructive speech should come from your mouths, but only such as is good for needed edification, that it might impart grace to those who hear. Strong, encouraging words from St. Paul reminding us of the importance of building each other up, because each and every one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. And to be negative, critical, tearing down is really to deface the image of God.
Well, I love the fact that the word destructive is used here, but that the counter to that is edification. And that doesn't mean running around throwing empty compliments at people. It means building them up in good ways that help them to be their best selves, healthy and holy. So you can definitely, as we said earlier, be calling people on, but it's the way in which you do it that truly matters. And when somebody else has used destructive language with you, destructive speech with you, it really does hurt, as the Carnegie Mellon University study proves out yet again, as we were talking about earlier in the show. So if you are dealing with critical people in your life and the pain that it's causing you, big or small, we're here to help you through it today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
More to Life will continue with your calls about the negative critical people in your life after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we are talking with you today about negative, critical, tearing down people in your life that you're just tired of dealing with on our show titled Trash Talk. You know, words really do hurt. We want to help you deal with those negative, critical people in a more graceful way. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio down in Texas.
Hey, caller, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to turn down your radio because you're going to get feedback from that and there's a delay. So just turn that down and we'll be able to
hear
the conversation.
You clearly, yeah.
Okay. All right, so go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for receiving my call, and I was just needing some help on how to deal with this issue. And it's been kind of like popping up here lately, more with my older children.
How old?
I feel like I'm always fall short with my children and by just always feeling I'm walking on eggshells and I'm always doing or saying something wrong and breaking their, crossing their boundaries.
How old are the kids?
And I just... My kids are in their 40s.
Okay, so this is a lifelong feeling that you're going through here. All right.
So what's the most recent thing that's happened?
It's just been recently now that they're older, you know, and they have children. And it's always, you know, I can never say anything right, you know, just...
Well, give me an example of the most recent thing that's happened.
Well, we went out to eat and... we were having breakfast, and my 2.5-year-old granddaughter was restless and just wanting to do something, you know. She had already eaten, and she was ready, and we had sat there, you know, quite a bit. And I just simply asked, you know, well, do you want to go to the park? And she said yes, and it upset my daughter very much.
Yeah.
So that she got upset and said, you always have to say the wrong things and you're always crossing my boundaries. Why didn't you ask me if she could go to the park, which it just didn't dawn on me. You know, I just
And I have to say, this is what I'm going to tell you to do. All right. Whenever you're thinking of what would be good in this situation, I want you to take a pause and then I want you to say, who do I need to ask who actually has power in this situation whether this would work or not? And that's usually going to be your daughter-in-law. It's going to be the child's mother or the child's father. Because you, when you offer, do you want to go to the park, that could change their entire day. There could be something that they don't want her to do at the park. It could be too cold because she could have a... Whatever, it throws off her nap schedule. It's not for us as grandparents to ever control our grandchildren's day, our lives, or what they do. So even if you just brought a coloring book and crayons and you're trying to give her something to do at dinner, it's important for you to say to your daughter-in-law, I have something in my bag. I have crayons and a coloring book. Would it be okay if I let her color with those? You always need to defer to the mom or the dad in the situation because you don't know enough in the situation about what's going to throw everything off. So to let the parents feel respected and also to make sure you're not throwing off your grandchild's day in some way, it's important to defer to them. And if you begin to do that, take that pause and say, how can I structure this as a private question to the parents of my grandchildren to make sure this is okay and get their yes or no on it first? You're going to be respecting her boundaries. You're going to be respectful to her, and things will begin to change. It's a very difficult transition to make, going from parent to grandparent, but it's an important one to be very conscious of and think about.
So I think the next step for you is to apologize, you know, to say, listen, I really did not mean any offense. It came from a good place in my heart. But I really understand how I stepped all over your boundaries there, and I really undermined your parenting with that suggestion, and I'm really sorry, and it's not going to happen again.
And to even say, my plan is from now on to privately ask for your permission if I have an idea.
Yeah, that's really the all-important next step, to really refocus things on what you're going to do in the future and how you'll handle those situations. You take that step, I think you're going to be you're going to be right as rain. All right. And your kids really appreciate hearing that from you. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about those negative, critical people in your life. How do you manage them without being a metaphorical punching bag or doormat, or for that matter, given as good as you get, which isn't a terrific idea either?
No.
We want to help you deal gracefully with those negative, critical, undermining people in your life. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Diana, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Hey there, Diana. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, thank you.
Do we have Diana? There she is.
Hey.
Hi, Diana. So, what can we do for you today?
Hi. Well, I was listening to you earlier, and when you said how some of these thoughts can pop up like weeds when you don't expect it. Well, it started back in 2016 when my mom was diagnosed with borderline dementia, but she was remembering things that really didn't happen. And as time passed, my sisters, my younger sisters, were believing her. That whatever, you know, like they were believing that she said I would take my mom to a head doctor to try to get her committed, or to a nursing home or some facility. And they believed her instead of looking at the issue of my mom, you know, mom has dementia. This is part of the problem. But instead they chose to think that I was up to something all the time. And they, at one point, they really got down hard on me, called me a liar, that mom was saying this is true, that I was just making trouble, and I wasn't a Christian because I was doing things on my own.
So where do things stand now? I'm only asking because I've got about two and a half. I've only got about 2.5 minutes before they kick us out of here. So where do things stand now?
Okay, well, one sister is acting like nothing like that happened, and she tries to be nice to me, but I don't find I trust her. The other one just won't speak to me.
At all, at this point.
So
you're wondering how to deal with the sister who's being nice to you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's always a possibility. Yeah, and when you say you can't trust her, I think that's probably true. Trust comes in degrees, though, and I think that, you know, where Jesus in Matthew 18, right, kind of lays out a kind of step-by-step process for healing a relationship. You go to the person, you speak to them directly about the problem. If that doesn't work, then you find somebody who can be a mediator, and you try to go that route. And then the third level, if that doesn't work, then you shake the dust from your feet and you treat him like a tax collector. Now, how do you treat a tax collector? You don't antagonize the tax collector because you don't want to be audited, right? You see the tax collector, you wave at them, you smile, have a nice day. You know, they do what you got to do with them. Then you get out of there, okay? And that's sort of where you're at with your sister. Now, if there's somebody that could intervene, that could be an intermediary to go to your sisters and say, hey, look, you know, this was unfortunate. It was a misunderstanding. Let's all try to move past this in a more intentional way. Great. I would encourage you to do that. It sounds like it's moved past that point, that your one sister, like you said, wants to sweep everything under the rug and your other sister isn't speaking to you. As painful as that is, I think the best you can do right now is focus on being polite and being civil, not trying to drag it all up again, you know, making your relationship about what you need to do to move forward. But don't trust her in the sense of saying that everything's okay. Everything's not okay. They've shown you that by their behavior that they don't know how to handle conflict well.
Now, I want to say that when you're dealing with somebody with dementia, it's very easy to sort of go down the rabbit hole. So it's important to say to your sisters when you do talk to them, look, I understand that everything that mom says comes across as 100% authentic because she's mom. But can you please, if you have a concern, if she has said something to you, call me and simply say, hey, mom said this in my conversation with her. Can you tell me what's really going on there as politely as you can? And I promise I will tell you what's really going on. So set those parameters about how they can inquire when they have a concern.
The other thing about talking with somebody who has dementia is that they'll often say things that are emotionally true but not factually true. So what I'm trying to say is if she's accusing you of taking her to the head doctor or getting committed, what that means emotionally is I'm afraid I'm losing my mind, mm-hmm. right? I'm scared of this, and she needs support and affirmation through that, not to take her words seriously, but to respond seriously to the emotions she's expressing. That's what your mom was trying to say. Your sister's misunderstood that message. So doing exactly what Lisa said, going to them and saying, look, moving forward, this is what I need from you. And hopefully they'll be willing to respect that. Other than that, I think following the advice in Matthew 18 about just being civil, keeping it superficial, and praying for the best outcome long term. Thanks for the call, Diana. We do talk about all of this and more in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can check that out along with information about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. Check it out. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Then get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live, because, folks,
You've
with God's grace, there is so much
life.
More to life.
With Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.